Me and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan in New York, KM to 2 a.m. inside the 1 o'clock hour. So that means we probably have about 50 minutes to take your calls and talk sports. And then C-Mac will take you through the overnight. Please dial 888-808-1019 if you have something to say, something to add to the show. I'm sure I missed something. I'm sure you have a take, a topic, something you want to add. I started off talking about the Yankees and how I'm in full-bloom love with this team. We're way past the honeymoon stage. We've been going steady for a while. I'm hoping that in October, we put a ring on it. The Mets, you got to be positive, man. It's just no point. You guys know what this Mets team is and isn't. On nights where they score 10 runs and they win the game, there's no reason to focus on Jeff McNeil. Focus on Tyrone Taylor. And as we were just talking about the trade deadline, okay, if you end up losing to the Padres and losing to the Yankees coming up and some of these other teams, whatever, and you stumble, man, why not put Tyrone Taylor out there and trade Marte and trade Bader and trade Seve and trade Pete Alonso? I don't think the Yankees want Pete Alonso. I know Jim Bowden put it out there. I just don't think the Yankees want Pete Alonso. Maybe. What do I know? If they're going for it and David Stearns doesn't have any type of real affinity attachment to Pete Alonso and there's some young guys that Cashman's willing to part with, maybe it goes down, but I doubt it, man. The Yankees are all in for this year. They're hell-bent on being a champion. Aaron Boone gave you that quote. And Aaron Boone is racking up the wins as Yankee manager. You love to see it. I've told you guys. I remember Cashman saying that he hoped Boone had as much time as Mr. T, Joe Torre, and Joe Girardi as the Yankee manager. He was hand-selected, and he's never managed any other Major League Baseball team. And now, you know, he's past Billy Martin, and he's just going to keep climbing and stacking wins with his team. And, yeah, this is the last year of his contract. But I know I had an article written by Ryan Chichester earlier on in the season where I told you Boone goes nowhere. There's a 0% chance. No matter how this season ends, there's no way they get rid of Aaron Boone. And I'm fine with that. Like, you guys drag the guy, but you don't give him any credit when, you know, we put this quote-unquote punt lineup out there. There are no punt lineups with this team. There were punt lineups in the past that, you know, they put this punt lineup out the first game of the series, and the Yankees just go out there and dominate. You know, when you see guys come out of the bullpen and they get it done, whatever. I'm not going down the whole rabbit hole with Aaron Boone. But, man, coming off of 82-80, making the trade for Alex Verdugo, making the trade for Juan Soto, signing Marcus Stroman, not flinching when Gerrit Cole goes down to go sign Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell. Going into this season, the captain of the team is batting 188, and the generational Juan Soto is being talked about as the King of New York, best player in baseball, best player on the team. And then we get to the biggest series of the season, and he's got inflammation in his arm. They take him out, and Aaron Judge is still there. And Aaron Judge put together a ridiculous May, and he's continuing to put together a ridiculous June. And I'll say it again for the people in the back and for the weirdos on Twitter that want to talk to me about Ichiro, Pete Rose, Tony Gwynn. Don't you dare mention Babe Ruth. What we're seeing with Aaron Judge is different, bro. He is the best baseball player I think I've watched. And maybe it's because I've specifically watched the Yankees. Night in and night out, I marvel at what this guy does. I marvel at the fact that they pitch to him. But what he's able to do hitting that baseball, even Ohtani said, no matter what, he's always taking his swing. Aaron Judge is the best player I've laid eyes on. You will never hear me challenge that man anymore. You'll never hear me question that man anymore. He's the silencer. He shut all of us up. Every critic has to pipe down. Just sit back and let this guy go to work. He's not human. In this era with the pitch clock, in this era where there are sweepers and different types of pitches that are combined pitches, slurves, and there's guys coming out of the bullpen throwing 100. There's guys like Paul Skenes, starting pitchers that are rookies throwing 100 every pitch. There's social media. There's pressure like we've never, ever seen it on these ball players. This guy's the Yankees captain in a 15-year drought, and he goes out there and he mashes and he puts the team on his back. Aaron Judge is the best baseball player, best hitter, whatever you want to call it, that I've seen. And I don't care what, you know, random nerds on Twitter that do YouTube shows and podcasts have to say about it. He's ridiculous, and he deserves his props. He deserves his flowers, and it goes beyond just what he does in the batter's box. It's also what he does. Man, the guy's a right fielder. He moves over to center field. He's been playing great at center field. He's got an arm. He can run down the ball. And then, like, take that stuff out of it. The guy that he is off the field, the guy that he is with the media, how he looks out for his teammates, all the stories that you hear about how, like, he's 1-on-1, man. He's worth every penny. I'm glad that I've seen, you know, every game of his career. I'm glad that I was at his first game and I saw his first home run, and I've seen a bunch more from Aaron Judge. I'm just giving him his props because I thought he was hurt. And I also was looking at the contract like, well, whatever. You know, he's not going to live up to the contract. Yeah, he already has. He already has. And I cannot wait for October for him to be the silencer again and shut up all the critics that are talking about, he only batting 211 in the postseason. Where is he at in the postseason? I can't wait till we get there. And he's got the help of Juan Soto getting on in front of him, working walks in front of him, Volpe hitting triples in front of him, and the rest of this team, the pitching, the hitting, it's all come together. I feel great about this team. Mike is in Levittown. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for taking my call, man. I'm with you. I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm in love. This team is amazing. Judge is amazing. Soto is amazing. And this can't be a one-night stand. I don't want a one-and-done. I want to get Soto and Judge in my life for the next decade plus, mm-hmm. whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My concern, I'm worried. Let's say we do get it done this year. We do win the championship, knock on wood. Do you think that Hal then, you know, thinks that the fans are satiated and doesn't need to re-sign Soto and pockets the money? Are we better off, you know, long-term, falling short?
It depends. It depends. If Steve Cohen comes in and offers the guy $700 million, I don't think they're going that far. And, like, obviously that's a reach. That's extreme. It should be somewhere around $500 million. I think the Yankees are going to have a bar. They're going to have a line similar to what they have for Yamamoto, but more so, like, because this guy has been in pinstripes, because they've seen the effect that he's had on the fans, on the Bronx, the Dominican community, right field, the roll call with the bleacher creatures, his jersey giveaway, the pandemonium around this guy, the effect that this guy has in the lineup. Like, the price went up this weekend, losing those first two games against the Dodgers. It just added to his value even more. So, no, even if the Yankees win the World Series,
they got to get it done this year. They got to get a reliable infield bat and got to push all the chips in. You know,
it has to get done.
We got to at least get this and worry about the future later.
Sure.
But I just hope the cast does the right thing and brings it home. Because, you know, especially with the Orioles pitchers going down, like, we just got really the Dodgers standing in our way. When will we stay healthy? Please, God, let us stay healthy. And this team, Judge, like you said, he's the best hitter I've ever seen. I watched Barry Bonds at the end of his career.
I don't even mention Barry Bonds because of the steroids. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I get steroids didn't hit the ball, but it's like,
with or without the steroids, you know, the way he hit the ball, I thought I would never see a guy hit the ball like that. Judge is doing beyond. This guy is just, he is amazing. And God bless these Yankees, man. Stay healthy. That's all.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Pray for health. I told you guys that a couple weeks ago. I pray for health. I pray this team stays healthy. You hear the Juan Soto news and people are like, oh, he's out for the season. Season's over. No, stop overreacting. PTSD, trauma, I get it. Pray for health. Pray for these guys to stay healthy. But even if they don't, man, we got reinforcements. As I'm watching Jason Dominguez hit home runs, if somebody in the outfield goes down, embrace the Martian. It's going to happen at some point. You know, Cody Poteet has been so solid, but we're waiting for Gerrit Cole to come back. We got the trade deadline. You got two times you can improve your team. In the winter, free agency, adding pieces, and at the deadline. And the deadline is the deadline. The deadline is the end. You can start making moves now. Everybody's worried about the Dodgers. Oh, if we face the Dodgers, I would love to face the Dodgers. I would love to go to Dodger Stadium. I would love to take that flight. Go see my sister. Go see my girl, Serena. Pull up. It is what it is. I don't care how much the tickets cost. If we got to empty the piggy bank, we got to empty the piggy bank. So I'm talking about the trade deadline because Kevin Biggio. Oh, what happened? Craig Biggio's son, the Baby Jays, the movie, the sequel. Yeah, they're breaking that group up. The Dodgers are trying to get better. They traded for Kevin Biggio yesterday. It's the deadline, right? Not like that. You can make trades now. You can make trades now. You don't have to wait till the last minute, but I think we know Cashman loves to wait till the last day because of that frenzy. I think he knows he can strike as people get frantic and that clock is winding down. 888-808-1019. You know, as we talk so much about they got to get it done, they got to get it done, they got to get it done, it's a 15-year drought since the Yankees got it done. I think it's a 13-year drought since New York has got it done. It sucks. I just did some calculations and looking up some stuff. Let's go through before I get some more calls and before I get out of here. I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Boston Celtics are about to be the 2024 NBA champions. So I've added that into this. We'll start with the Celtics. The Celtics won in 2024 and they won in 2008. So in 2008, they won, obviously, with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett. Anything is possible. Ray Allen, Big Baby, Doc Rivers. The Bruins won in 2011. So there's your winter sports. If you're a Boston kid, a Boston fan that's been alive in the years 2008, 2011, and now 2004, you've seen your winter sports come out of it with three summer parades. It's awesome. It's amazing. 2011 was the last time that we had a parade when the Giants won it. If you're a kid in Boston that was born in, let's say, 1994, let's say you would have been seven. You would have been in the second grade in 2001. I was in the second grade when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. I remember it. It makes you a lifetime fan. So, born in 1994, you're 7 years old in 2001. You saw the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You saw them go on to win the Super Bowl in 2003, 2004, 10-year gap, but then you see them rattle off Super Bowl wins in 2014, 16, and 18. So then you get to go to, on top of those three winter sport parades, you get to go to six Super Bowl parades with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and those guys. That's nine parades in your lifetime if you were born in 1994. And then don't forget the Celtics or the Boston Red Sox breaking the curse, which when I was young, I told people the curse will never end. When I was young, I thought it was a permanent thing. The curse of the great Bambino, 2004, one of the worst years ever. The Red Sox win the World Series in 2004. They go on to win again in 2007. I was sick. I remember, shout out to Dana. I was living with Dana, big Yankee fan. And they had the World Series on in 2013. I didn't lay eyes on that TV in the living room. And then they won it again in 2018. Steve Pierce. So add those four. If you're a fan that was born in 1994 and you're 30 years old this year, 30-year-old Boston fan, it makes me sick because we just a 30-year-old fan here in New York. We're not even close. A 30-year-old Boston fan that decided to be a fan of the Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, and Patriots has seen 13 parades. By the next week and a half. 888-808-1019. I'm jealous. I am jealous. That is too much. That is Title Town. That is a city of champions. That is just memories passed down through families and generations and a run of just consistent winning and seasons changing and turning over and you just taking off your Patriots hat and putting on your Celtics hat and your Bruins hat and then your Red Sox hat. And yeah, there are kids that are even younger than 30, right? There are 20-year-old kids, you can do the math on 20-year-old, that have seen nothing but winning, nothing but championships. Good for them. But obviously they're a rival of ours. And they got us with that. They can laugh at Yankee fans with that. I've never been to Fenway. I remember hearing a story, I forget who told the story, you know, about, you know, some young Red Sox fans that were laughing at the Yankee fans trying to talk about 27 rings. They, you know, a young Red Sox fan that was born in 2000 barely remembers the 2009 World Series for the Yankees, you know, but they've seen the Red Sox win in 2013, 2018, like 27 rings. They look at the Yankees' 27 rings as ancient history. And the Red Sox curse is ancient history. I've talked about this series with the Celtics and Kristaps Porzingis being out. They don't need him. They don't need him. And Luka being run down, not being able to play defense. I just saw Brian Windhorst. He went out there and cooked Luka and put it all on Luka. That they're attacking him on defense. He can't defend. He's crying to the refs. And Kyrie stepped up tonight, but like, what was Kyrie really going to do? I know Kyrie came out and had like 20 points in the first half. Prior to the first two games, he didn't knock down one three-point shot. I had heard on ESPN watching the pregame stuff that Kyrie showed up to the court like 4 hours before game time, more, probably earlier than that, to get some extra work in so that he would, you know, be locked in to go tonight. He dropped 35 tonight to lead all scorers in a loss. They're down 3-0 in the series, and you know what that means. There's no way that the Mavericks rip off four wins, not with Luka crying. They know. They know they're cooked. They know they're done. And I'm ready for the NBA to be over. I'm over it. I'm ready for the NBA to be over, and I'm ready for the NBA summer for trades and free agency and all the madness that comes once we get to July with the NBA. But it just sucks. It sucks to know that the Celtics are about to win another championship. They've come up short. You know, I've joked about it, and now they're about to actually get it done, and they're about to get it done with some picks that they got from the Brooklyn Nets. You know, the last time that they won the championship in 2008, as I mentioned with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen, they were able to send old-ass Jason Terry, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett to the Brooklyn Nets, who were so starved, you know, to just be relevant, so hungry to make Brooklyn, the rebrand from the New Jersey Nets to the Brooklyn Nets, something. And they put them with Brook Lopez and Darren Williams. And as I'm looking at Jason Kidd in the post game, talking about his Dallas Mavericks, he was the coach of that team. They were so eager to be relevant that they sold their souls and gave up those picks. And as we sit here right now, the Brooklyn Nets don't have a pick for another 4 years, 3 years, whatever it is. They did it again. It's nonsense. At least the Knicks are in good shape. I don't know what'll happen with Isaiah Hartenstein, OG Anunoby, but like, I'm ready to get to those conversations. I'm ready for the NBA to end. This season was whack. This season was super whack. But that's where we are, folks. The Boston Celtics about to win and lead the NBA in championships. And we're going to watch another parade in Boston. I don't ever go up there. The one time I went there was when James Madison played Northeastern. Northeastern no longer has a football program. I didn't go up there on my own accord. I don't know, too much Yankee pinstripes in my blood. No interest in going to Fenway. I'll go one day. But yeah, definitely jealous of the amount of championships and parades. I've never been to a parade. That's why I so badly want this to happen for the Yankees this year. I could have got on the train from Long Branch and went to New York Penn Station in 2009, but I'd already had too many missed classes, and mispractices or, you know, unexcused absences like Aaron Rodgers, and I had to go to practice, I had to go to class, and I would watch what I could watch from the Yankees online, and we didn't have back then, 2009, Twitter was in its first year, Facebook existed, but we didn't have camera phones that could take the video that we can take now. We didn't have Snapchat and Instagram stories and TikTok and going live. Man, I'm going to say it again because I hope I can speak it into existence. If the Yankees focus all their energy, this team, this front office, this trade deadline, the rest of the season on being the best team in baseball to win the 2024 Fall Classic, this next World Series will be in 4K and it will be greater than all of them. It will live on forever in our minds and clear as day in our phones. Forever. They will plant a brand new money tree in the Bronx with merchandise and everything else that's going to come from the parade and the parties and the celebrations of the Yankees ending their World Series drought. 888-808-1019. Bob is in Hawaii. Bob, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, listen, I agree with the statement of Judge being one of the greatest ball players of all times. But my question is he the greatest hitter of all times?
Yeah, let's have the conversation. I think the pitching that we are seeing right now, these pitchers are more dominant than ever. It's harder than ever to hit that baseball. I also think with the pitch clock, right, there is no more stepping out of the box, adjusting your glove, thinking about what you just saw, thinking about what the guy's going to throw next. You got to be ready. I also think with the pressure that is added by social media and the nonstop coverage and podcasts and pundits and talking, these guys can't escape it. They can't even go walk down the street and get a sandwich. It's that much harder. I also think the pressure that Judge faces by being the captain of the Yankees during this drought makes it that much harder. He broke the AL home run record and won the MVP, was this close to winning the Triple Crown, and now people expect him to be that, which makes it even harder. I look at this guy, I think he's the best.
I'm not going to debate any of that. I agree. I'm a diehard Yankee fan since 1957. So I go back a long, long way. And I really never saw Ted Williams. But the stories I've heard about Ted Williams, and he, lost, I want to say, 4 years because he went into the service. But I was told that this guy was just, his eyes were just incredible, that he can hit and see the stitches of the baseball. So I understand the pressure, and everything is just tremendous now. I agree with the media, and everybody's watching everything. Back then, they weren't on TV much, but I'm not a Red Sox fan. I'm a Yankee fan, but I just told that Ted Williams is the greatest hitter of all time.
Sure. I've heard that a bunch. Thanks for the call, Bob. Ted Williams, I remember Kyle Higashioka talking about, like, there's a book. I don't know if Ted Williams wrote the book, but there's like a Ted Williams book of hitting. But like, come on, bro. I remember I was watching some on MLB Network. Tony Gwynn, who was a ridiculous hitter as well, was like so pumped to meet Ted Williams, two of the greatest hitters of all time. But, like, who are they facing? Obviously, Tony Gwynn faced better pitchers, Hall of Fame pitchers. But, like, I just looked up, I'm like, who's the guy Mad Dog always talks about in the NBA? Bob Cousy. Oh, Bob Cousy was the greatest. Like, who is he playing against? What was life like? Life was a lot simpler. The game was not the same. Major League Baseball has evolved and changed so much. It is so hard for these guys to consistently hit. For Judge to be so dominant, for Judge to be on the New York Yankees, the biggest brand in baseball, be the captain, for him to have the slow start he had because he had an interrupted spring, and then to put the best month of his career down, I'm too impressed with the guy. He's the best. Maybe you want to say power hitter because he hits a home run every day. He's like averaging like every 10 at bats. His home run pace is historic. I mean, I was sitting in Yankee Stadium. I think it was the Saturday game. Yeah, it had to be because they didn't score. Saturday game, I literally spoke Aaron Judge's home run into existence. I was sitting in 121. Shout out to Lee, who was with me. I know Steve Gelbs was a couple rows back. But the people could hear me that I was around, and I was like, man, I've seen Aaron Judge hit so many home runs. It's so easy for him. He's prolific. And he put the ball over the fence, just over the fence. And I'm like, well, there's another one that I've seen with my own eyes in the stadium. That's why when I saw the guy struggle, I'm like, what happened to the guy? You know? And I don't get clipped too much for WFAN social media. I don't care. But, like, you know, I have to, like, send in, hey, clip this. And I told him, hey, clip something of me talking about Judge. I also had something about Aaron Boone, whatever. And what got clipped was me saying, like, did the Monstars zap him? What happened to the guy? What happened to the guy that in the stadium they say, all rise? Like, when Judge first came up, there was an all rise sound to get your attention because he's going to hit a bomb. This guy hit 50-plus bombs his rookie year. And, like, I get it. Pete Rose, great hitter. I get it. Ichiro, the itchy meter, great, great hitter. But, man, what we're seeing from Judge and the competition that he's facing and the pressure that he's got to handle, like, was Fox cutting out of Penn State, Michigan to show the entire nation any of Tony Gwynn's at-bats? Barry Bonds at bats. And yeah, Barry Bonds, another one. If we're talking about power hitters, cool. But like, you know, Barry took steroids. Judge is not a steroid guy. He's just a monster. So, you know, Barry Bonds can be the greatest hitter in your opinion. And I think that's a valid argument as well. But I was younger for Barry Bonds. I'm older now. And I didn't get to see Barry Bonds live. I've been in Yankee Stadium for a ton of live at bats from Aaron Judge. So in my opinion, and like not to be mean, I don't care about your opinion, especially on the internet. You guys on the internet think your opinion matters so much. My wife is like, oh, I saw the response. I saw the response to your quote that like Aaron Judge is the best hitter you've ever seen. People didn't agree. I'm like, I don't care what they say. Let me know when their show starts. Let me know how many games they've been to. I'm saying my opinion, my experience. Aaron Judge is the best hitter I've gotten the opportunity to watch. And maybe I haven't gotten the opportunity to watch that many hitters. And that's fine. I'm a Yankee fan. I go to Yankee Stadium. I watch the Yankee games. Out of all the Yankees I've watched, A-Rod was pretty good too. Obviously, Jeets. I like Cano. But nah, Judge is in a league of his own. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for the next 25 minutes on the fan. Les, we got another break to take. This is Keith McPherson. This is KM to 2 a.m. We'll be back right after this.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Yeah, it's the Fan in New York for the fans of the sports. On the field, on the diamond, on the ice, on the court. Your boy KM, rocking till 2 a.m. on WFAN with my WFAM. Let's get it. I owe y'all like some actual bars. I owe y'all like maybe I gotta in my schedule tomorrow, like put an hour block in my schedule tomorrow. Like write a rap, bro. Stop. Because it's like Lewis called today and it brought me back to him rapping to me and people have caught me and I don't have raps ready. Like I used to. And shout out to the people that I knew growing up and in college. I used to be a freestyler. Like, I used to be able to just rap, like, anything. You know, someone give me a word. Like give me a word. I got a bar for it. Give me another word. Or we used to do lyrical exercise. A, B, C, D, like, go through the alphabet. You got to have, you know, rhyme, you know, start with an A. And then get to, and someone will throw out B. And then you got to have some B words and some C words. And it's the type of thing, anybody that's listening that's ever rapped before, if you don't sharpen your sword gets dull. If you don't have people to rhyme with, rap with, you can't just do it. And me personally, I've been really good at it where like I'm a huge critic of myself. So I don't want to just get on and rap and mess up and be trash. I've kicked like 3 rehearsed raps on the fan. And it's been too long since I've done another one, only because I have a baby. I don't have the time. But before I had a kid, I had time. And I always need inspiration. So I'm going to get to one. I'm definitely going to get to one. And I have a 5-hour KM to AM. I usually try and save them for Fridays, but maybe I'll put something together. I got to black out my calendar and see tomorrow if I have the time to do it. Because it's just dope, man. And it's something that, you know, growing up, I used to listen to Hot 97. Obviously, with them, Power 105 came along. And these New York airwaves are a proving ground. And, like, I'm standing on business, bro. I had hernia surgery on Monday. I'm in here with stitches and a bandage over me. I could barely walk. But, like, I'm not missing any more time because I have something to prove this summer. And I know for a fact there's nobody else on the fan that can rap. So me being able to get on the fan live and kick another rap is just going to be another reminder of who I am and what I'm doing. And I was, you know, admiring Rockefeller and Fabolous and, you know, guys like Meek Mill and even Drake coming up to Hot 97, which was right down the street. I remember being out here running into Flex, and Flex ignored me when I was like, yo, Funk Flex. Like, I, you know, even J. Cole, Wale, you know, I remember being in college and watching their freestyles coming up. It was like, yo, you get to New York City, you get on the radio, you rap to prove yourself. And even though I didn't make it in rap, I made it on the radio. And I have this microphone and I have the ability. I'm like, I got to get back to doing that. It's been too long. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the fan, your nighttime host. Again, taking your calls, talking about the New York Yankees mostly. For the Mets, did you guys see? Obviously, Tomas Nito said farewell 12 years. But JT Realmuto got hurt. And I guess the Phillies picked up Tomas Nito. And, you know, I was talking about Austin Wells and Jose Trevino and how, like, there are just not that many good tandems of catchers that are hitters in Major League Baseball. And they're tough to find. JT Realmuto is getting knee surgery, and that's tough for the Phillies. They're one of the better teams in baseball. They have one of the best records in baseball, but I think they're expecting, you know, this surgery to happen and it to take a while for him to come back. I don't know. He's one of the best players on their team. He's a big part of their team. And so, you know, good luck to Tomas Nito going to the enemy. Other than that, yeah, let's get back to the phones, man. Let's see. Joe is in Congers. Joe, you're on the fan.
What's up, Keith?
What's up?
So, like 2 years ago, when Judge had a 62 home run season, me, my brother, and a buddy, we went down to, we went up to Fenway. And you could look it up. It was like September 13th or 14th. Aaron Judge had like a 2 home run game. I just heard you talking about, like, you've seen so many of his live at-bats. So have I. I've been to a lot of Yankee games the last few years, especially with Judge going crazy. And there was, like, a viral video. I don't know if you remember. Somebody was like, you suck, to Aaron Judge. And, like, 2 seconds later, bombs one. I just remember looking back at the guy in Fenway, Red Sox fans all around me just, like, going off on this guy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You're just talking about Judge. You know, that guy is just so amazing to watch in person. Like, you watch it on TV, and then watching him in person is just, like, a whole different feeling.
I'm right there with you. I mean, I've been to a bunch of Yankee games and seen this guy hit home runs. And like you said, I always tell folks, don't poke the bear. And I don't think we were poking the bear, you know, early in the season when we were thinking he was hurt. Some people were saying he was washed and he was cooked. I'm thinking he's hurt. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm like, if he's hurt in April, shut him down now so he's good for October. He silenced everybody. He shut everybody up. And that's what he does. He's a silencer.
Yeah, I wasn't too worried about him. I feel like he always, like, starts off a little bit slow and then picks it
up. Shout out to the confident Yankee fans like yourself that were not worried about Aaron Judge in the month of April, because I was like, this, there's something wrong with him. This is not him. This is not the guy I've watched these last 7 years.
Yeah, there was a little thought, you know, like maybe the toe was messing with him a little bit. He had to get his rhythm back. But long term, I wasn't really too worried about him, to be honest.
Yeah, good. Now my confidence is reassured. I won't question the man again.
Nah, no way. You can't question that guy. 2 years ago, he just broke the record for home runs in the AL. no way he's losing that swing in a 2 year span.
Right. Right. You're right.
All right, my man. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for the call and the story, right? You know, talking about the silencer. I was on the radio 95.7 KNRB, BR, something like that in San Francisco, ahead of the Yankees-Giants series. They had me on as a guest, Keith McPherson from WFAN. Stymie and the Guru, shout out to them. And they were telling me that the Giants fans were planning on booing Aaron Judge. And my response to that was, don't do that. don't do that. Don't poke the bear. He already has the motivation of coming home and supposedly like he had 100 family and friends there. He already has the motivation of like last time the Yankees played there, he wasn't available. He already has the motivation of like wanting to hit it out of Oracle Park the way he saw Barry Bonds and some of his favorite players do. So when once they said that to me, they're like that they were going to boo him. I was like, yo, let me put $5 on Judge the homer twice tonight. And he did in that first game. He's the silencer. He silences all critics, all rise. Here comes the Judge. And like, I don't care who you think the best hitter. Like, it's just foolish to me when people are like, Ted Williams, Babe Ruth. It's like, stop, bro. What are you talking about? Who was pitching to them? I can't compare those times. It's a lot more competitive now. It's a lot harder to play baseball now. There's a ton of more pressure now. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have internet. They didn't have Wi-Fi back then. You know what I'm saying? Games were in black and white. People were listening to them on the radio. You can't tell me that there were power pitchers back then. You can't tell me Babe Ruth, as great as he was, like even as they were talking about Judge's pace, they're like, only one better than Judge's pace is Babe Ruth, and maybe they said Lou Gehrig. I was listening to Yes Network, and they were talking about, oh, but, you know, in Babe's defense, he did it in less games. In Judge's defense, he did it in 2024. In Judge's defense, I don't care how many, they're like, well, this pace that he's on only is comparable to Babe Ruth, and I'm like, yeah, Babe Ruth was hitting the ball like anybody was pitching to him, his plumber was pitching. His electrician was pitching to him. His mailman was pitching to him. He wasn't doing this against some of the top pitchers in baseball. You know, he wasn't facing some of these guys that are coming out there throwing 100 miles an hour. It's just different. And, like, the pressure. Pressure's a real thing, man. The pressure that Aaron Judge has faced in his career and shown up every time. Right? Like, all right. You know, come up, him and Tyler Austin, Judgment Day. I'll never forget that day. I was in the dugout, and my boy Ryan shows me the lineup, and I had taken the train. So I hadn't looked at the lineup yet, but I got off the train. I went to the dugout, and Ryan just shows me his phone. And I look at the lineup, and I'm like, Judge. And he goes, it's Judgment Day. And I'm like, oh, my, all right. Judge is in the lineup? Bet. It was one of the hottest days, and we sat in the bleachers. Tyler Austin homers, Judge homers, and, you know, it started from there. He answered the call right away. Then the next year, as a rookie, you know, there was conversation about him versus Aaron Hicks, which is hilarious now. Who was going to play right field? Was it him or Aaron Hicks? And then he goes off to hit, what, 53 homers that year? And then they go to Miami for the home run derby. He wins the home run derby. One and done. I was thinking about the other day. The Yankees have Judge, Stanton, and Juan Soto, who have all won home run derbies. Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, the year that Judge was carrying out the little jukebox out of Fenway, playing Frank, playing Start Spreading the News before, like it was just after the first win in the series, I think he learned a ton from that. That got caught on video. That hit the internet. And that's what I'm saying. There's a ton of pressure. Just because someone can record you with their phone, that can hit the internet, and then everybody says, oh, it's your fault. You jinxed us. Remember when Judge's now wife got arrested for DUI, and that was viral? You know, that's something else that he had to deal with. And, you know, respect to him and her. And I'm glad he stayed with her, you know, at the time. She's like, you know who my boyfriend is? Or she didn't even say it like that. She just was crying. And she's just like, she knew, like, this is going to get out. This is going to be public. She's like, yeah, my boyfriend is Aaron Judge. Now that's, you know, his wife. Now that's your husband. He saw it through with her. And there were people criticizing her, saying he should break up with her. He shouldn't be with her. Nah, that girl held him down. Man, I've seen this whole Aaron Judge movie up close. They build the judges' chamber in the stadium. And, I mean, every pundit, every Yankee fan, they didn't build anything for Mickey Mantle or DiMaggio or Derek Jeter or Mariano. Oh, I can't believe the Yankees building the judges' chambers. Oh, it's something cool for this guy. They should have built the judges' chambers and offered him a deal, a long-term deal. It would have saved us some money. But even so, I'll never forget listening to Tiki and Tierney riding to Yankee Stadium. And like an hour before first pitch, Marley Rivera is talking to Judge. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And the next thing you know, they put the contract information out. Oh, the Yankees offered him a contract, blah, 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 blah. He turned it down. I'm like, oh, here we go. And I remember sitting in 103 around fans that were like, Judge, you should have taken the contract. Are you crazy? You never turned down your first fortune. Judge, you should have taken the contract. You're terrible right now. And then what did Judge do? He hit that first home run, I think like 13 games in. And then he went on a historic tear. 62 homers. What's he on pace for? 59 right now? Shut everybody up. Silence everybody. MVP. This close to winning the Triple Crown. I'm done questioning the guy. And I don't care if you don't think the guy is what he is. I'm sold. He's proved it to me. John out in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, John?
Yo, what's up, G? You know I'm your fan and I listen to you all the time, right? But so you're saying that Judge is the best hitter you ever seen or the best player in general that you witnessed?
I think best player, best hitter that I have consistently watched on a night-in, night-out basis and been able to see live in this last, like, 10 years that I've been going to Yankee Stadium.
I remember one time you were saying Acuña Jr. was way better than Judge.
I was saying who?
Acuña.
Ronald Acuña Jr.?
You said one time he was better than Judge, and I said, Keith, so how you going to do that? And you said Acuña Jr. was better than Judge.
When we were ranking top players at the end of last year, yeah, I definitely put Acuña ahead of Judge, but Judge was hurt. I'm hitting refresh on my takes and on what I'm saying. I'm not questioning this guy. I'm not putting anybody ahead of this guy. Acuña's hurt. He's out for the season. Acuña's not a better baseball player than Judge.
I knew you were going to change your mind. I was going to give you time, baby. I knew it. Yeah, Judge, he's a very good hitter. One thing about Judge that a lot of people don't know is that he's very smart in the field. You know, he's like Truman Stang. They're always looking at the tablet, doing like J.D. Martinez, and people underestimate that. How smart the guy is on the plate. He's always talking to Stanton, like, yo, look, they're going to throw this, they're going to throw that. And Truman Stang, I don't know, because you and the ball club, but they look like they got a good relationship, and they color each other of what the pitch is throwing. Is that, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying from far, but I mean, he's there more than I am.
100%. They have a good relationship. They look out for each other. These guys share information after at-bats. And, you know, just the other night, two nights ago, Judge hit one, and then Stan hit one, and you saw Judge's reaction in the dugout. Peter's in Garden City on the Fan. Go for it, Peter.
Hey, Keith, how are you? I'm in the restaurant business. I always listen to you on the way home, so great show. I just want to agree to disagree with you about something. Yes, Judge is a great player, but you can't compare the past with the present. Like, for me, I'm 60 years old. Montana, to me, if he played in this era, would have more Super Bowls than Tom Brady. Babe Ruth, okay, the pitching is better now, but remember, the way that these players have now, physical trainers, the training, the protein powders, Babe Ruth was eating 20 hot dogs back then. It's a different era. You know what I mean?
I
agree to disagree with you. I know the pitching is way better, but again, the strength programming is better today, so it's a little bit different. Do you agree with me or not? I'm just trying to say.
I agree that it is different. Thanks for the call, Peter. But, like, we're talking about protein powder. We're talking about trainers. We're talking about Babe Ruth eating hot dogs. He was able to eat hot dogs because of who he was facing. Aaron Judge has to, like, I don't know. I got time for one more call. Jimmy is in Queens. Jimmy, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, Keith, I go back to about 1956, 1957 myself, and I have to say there's one difference now in the pitching. Both back, in, well, maybe 10, 20 years ago. I mean, it was accepted that pitchers would throw at batters when I was coming up. That was accepted. You know, after a guy would hit a home run or he'd make some gesture or something
some
like
music.
That.
Some chin music. Back him off the plate a bit.
Oh, back him up. They hit. They knock him down. They throw out his head.
Nolan Ryan.
I mean, I'm talking about, you know, it was accepted. These guys hot
part
dog around now. They
unwritten rules of baseball.
True.
Sure.
Huh?
Yeah, it was part of
they
the unwritten rules.
And that's a big difference in hitting.
Sure, I think so. But again, would you throw the ball at 6'7", 280 Aaron Judge, and then he charges the mound? You would have a death wish throwing at Aaron Judge. Nah. Protein powder, trainers, hot dogs. Just give the man his props. We've never seen the likes of Aaron Judge, and he's got a lot more left to do. I don't have anything left to do. That's it. Another quick one. C-Max in here. He's ready to rock. He's got you. Dial the number. Get ready for his show. I will be back at 7 p.m. for a 5-hour KM to AM on the Fan. Thanks for rocking with me. Thanks for listening. Be good, y'all. I'm out of here. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
W.